never filtered, always fun.
I'll tell you what,
I like
my hair. I don't want to be bald. I would spend up to, I think, $300,000 to $400,000 to get a salad put on my head.
$400,000.
I would go to my financial guy and say, I need $400,000 cash. I'm buying a hairdo.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
All right, we're one down for the final hour of the Noodle Show featuring Overdrive with a Hayes replacement.
I know.
I mean, he walked out on you.
He did walk out on us. I'm worried that on his show tomorrow, he will find a way to try and run sound for like half an hour and be on the DVP at like 6:30. We can't allow him to do that, because if we ran sound, he would just walk out of the building.
What about... just thinking on the fly here, a tie line from O's condo. So he can pull the I'm watching hockey in the evening act. Boxers, nobody can see him. Nugs, ooh. Dorito chips.
On his shirt.
The orange crusty powder.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would be concerned. Like, O's a big fan. He's a knowledgeable hockey guy, but he's a big fan. And if he's watching a Leaf game, he gets pretty... enthralled. I've sat with him in the press box. Like, he'll yell.
Oh, there's no doubt. I was sitting beside him in one of the playoff games. The best thing about sitting beside O in the press box at a Leafs game is his reactions are so over the top that a stupid idiot like me, who has to be in a suit and look completely objective because I'm in the press box and there's no cheering in the press box, he gets so like rowdy that everybody's looking at him. So when I come out with the little wimpy fist pump, nobody notices.
Is that a rule from a media standpoint?
No cheering in the press box.
Is that through all sports?
Yeah. Generally speaking, yeah. There's no cheering in the baseball press box, for sure.
But it's interesting because last year, I'm trying to remember his name, Rob Rossi. Rob Rossi got into it with Barry Trotz. Rossi's a Pittsburgh beat guy.
Yes.
Didn't like a hit, got into it with Trotz, and it got personal. I think Rossi went on his own, like whatever that's called, the Instagram Live, and had a rant about Trotz and said, you've never won anything and blah, blah, blah. And it was like, that was his fandom coming out. Like, to me, that was unprofessional. Like,
do you think it was his fandom of the Penguins?
Yes.
Or do you think he was turnt because he'd had a tete-a-tete with the other team's head coach?
But
he said, I'm going live on my Insta, and I'm going to say what I think.
He thought it was a dirty hit. I can't remember the exact play, but he didn't like the hit. And it was on, I don't know if it was on Crosby. Maybe it was Niskanen on Crosby. I think that's maybe what it was.
I'm doing a quick search here.
I mean, what's Trotz going to say? Even if he didn't like the hit, he's not going to go, you're right, Rob, you know what? Niskanen's got to be a lot better in that situation. Like, sometimes you're asking a question, and you know you're going to get a terrible answer, because nobody's going to be candid and be like, you know what, you got me here, or you got that player. And I think Trotz just said, listen, wasn't called a penalty, I'm fine with it, move on. And he took heat for it, and then Rossi got pissed about it, and took it personal. And you know, I think Rossi's a good reporter, but I looked at that and I said, that's fandom coming out, because I think he almost used the words we, like it, Pittsburgh's going to, you know, kick your ass again type of thing. And I was like, just relax. Like, he's a good writer. He follows Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh wins the cup. You move on. But he took a shot at Barry, and I didn't like that, because I think Barry Trotz is a quality person. And yeah, they didn't make it to the cup. And Pittsburgh did, but it's not like Rob Rossi was out there playing.
Yeah. And the strange thing about the job, Noodles, and it's not across the board, because some people move and they're in different cities, but oftentimes you can end up covering the team that you grew up cheering for.
Right,
and everybody
right.
knows me as a Cubs fan, but I'm a Toronto kid. I'm born and right. raised in Oakville. I mean, I grew up going to the Gardens. I grew up going to the Sky Dome. My dad worked at the Sky Dome. I was
right.
at every big Blue Jays moment in the early 90s because I was fortunate enough to have the opportunity
right.
to be there. So I remember all of that. So there's like almost like a family connection to the Dome for me. It's like it's a special place. You know, my grandparents are gone, but they were at all the big games in the early 90s. When I walk into that stadium, I see right. a lot of people in my head who were important to me, who are no longer with us. But you know this because you played. I mean, you probably grew up. Would you cheer for the Oilers growing up?
I didn't, but I cheered for players. Like, Grant
okay.
Fear was one of my favorite goalies. I ended up playing with Grant and still am friends with him. That was a bit surreal and weird initially because you're playing with your idol and then...
But that makes you a bit of an outlier, right? Because in the late 70s and early 80s, kids have favorite teams.
I think I am very unique when it comes to that because you've always had a favorite team. I just remember having favorite... Mike Liut was one of my favorite goalies. Obviously, I grew up, and I've told this story on the show before, Gretzky was in my backyard. The Oilers were winning cups in my backyard. And one time there was a cup parade. I'm like, I'll go next year. Because they were just winning every year. Isn't that... It's insane
right.
to think now, but that's what I remember as a 12-year-old thinking. Like, they'll win next year. It's fine. I'll go next year's.
Yeah.
You're spoiled. So... That's the type of stuff I was lucky. I was an outlier. I didn't have a favorite team.
Yeah, it's weird because, I mean, sometimes you end up covering the team you grew up cheering for, but then at the same time you have a job to do and it almost forces
right.
objectivity when you're in the media and you actually begin to feel objective about
yep.
it. You have kind of less of that personal investment. Well, here's somebody with a big investment in the National League Championship Series. He is the vice president of baseball operations for the Los Angeles Dodgers. And at 9 Eastern tonight, the Dodgers will take on the Cubs in Game 3 as the series shifts to Chicago. The Dodgers so far 5-0 in this NL playoff push as they make the push toward the World Series for the first time in almost 30 years. Alex Anthopoulos is on the line. Alex, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
Doing well. Out at Wrigley Field right now and... hurry up and wait at this point. Just anxious to get started.
I mean, what's the anticipation level for you guys here right now, Alex? Because, I mean, as I just outlined, it has been a real nice run through the playoffs to this point, and kind of unlike previous playoff pushes. You guys seem to be in the playoffs every year, but previous playoff pushes where you got through the division series such that you had some rest and you could line everything up into the championship series, and it's playing out so far nicely for you.
No, you're right, and that was big, and look, the Diamondbacks were tough. I mean, they had beat us the last six times they played us during the season, and you know, there's no doubt they were a tough opponent going into round one. And to win three in a row against them was huge. I mean, everyone did a great job. The rotation, the bullpen's been outstanding, you know, all five games. So it's tough, but then you come in and you play the Cubs, and look, they had to grind it out against the Nats. You know, those are pretty exciting games. And, you know, I think it was certainly helped us to give guys a blow, line up our bullpen, line up our rotation, give everybody some rest. I can tell you, starting at home, last year we didn't get to start at home. We didn't have home field. And, you know, even back from the Toronto days, you know, now with a little more experience and having been on the other side, I definitely appreciate and value home field a lot more than I probably did back then.
You do. That's a fascinating one for me because, I mean, and I sit back and I watch either objectively or as a fan, as the case may be. And sometimes, Alex, I'll be honest, I kind of like, from a fan's perspective, the us-against-the-world mentality of going into the visiting arena or going into the visiting ballpark. What is it? I mean, the baseball advantage is you have the opportunity to walk it off, but what outside of that do you appreciate most?
I think just the comforts of home. You know, ideally you want to get off to a good start. And look, all that said, you still would like to have rest and you don't want to have a beat-up bullpen or not be able to line up your rotation. Those are the most important things. But, you know, when we're able to combine both, I think I just look back to, I sat in the stands in Kansas City, those games in Toronto. It was just, I couldn't take it. I had to go inside. The fans are on top of you. They're loud. They're yelling. They're screaming. Just a very hostile environment. You've obviously seen what's gone on in Toronto the last few years when they're in the playoffs, the environment. Being here in Chicago, tough place to play. Fans are on top of you. it's not a, you know, when you're on the road, it's not necessarily a comfortable place to play. And being at home, just having all those things, being able to sleep in your own bed, line things up, to hopefully get off to a good start, I do think helps quite a bit.
With Alex Anthopoulos, the VP of baseball operations for the LA Dodgers, they're up 2-0 on the Cubs. Game 3 goes tonight, a little bit later on in Chicago. Corey Seager was the one story, I guess, Alex, that represents a bit of a hiccup for you guys. Injures himself in the series-deciding game against Arizona, and then, quite surprisingly, at least to all of us on the outside, he's left off of the NLCS roster as he works to heal his back. Where's he at right now, and if you guys make the World Series, are you confident he'll be back?
Yeah, I mean, it's too hard at this point to predict, you know, where things are going, but I can tell you that he's been improving. He's been improving each day, so that's certainly the good news. But we had a decision to make, obviously, coming up with this series set in the roster, and after consulting with doctors and him and everybody else, that was a decision we ultimately made. But look, we're always going to be optimistic. The fact that he has improved and he does continue to get better each day is certainly a very good sign. But beyond that, it's just too hard to say right now. And look, the last thing we're doing is even going to look ahead to a series. I mean, we've all seen, we're only 2 games into this. There's been a lot of examples of things being able to change. So the focus, obviously, he is a loss, huge part of our team during the year. But at the same time, you know, the one hallmark that this team has had is we've been very deep. We've had guys step up, and even a guy like Charlie Culberson, the first few games, did a lot of nice things for us. Sack flies, base hits, things like that. Plays great defense, shortstop. So far it's worked out for us. He is a loss, but hopefully we're going to continue to get through it.
This is not specific to your team or to really any team, but it more general, Alex, your thoughts on the way that teams approach how they utilize their pitchers in the playoffs. And I know off days are a big factor here. You can get guys a little extra rest here and there. But a couple of things, starting with the usage of starting pitchers in relief, kind of as the piggyback guy off the starter if he has a short or a kind of a medium night. I don't remember that being en vogue just a few years ago. It seems to be all the rage these days.
No, you're right. It's definitely seemed to have evolved. And even I know last year, Dave Roberts started using Kenley Jansen earlier in the game. And the big thing was you have guys that are normally used to the traditional role of ninth inning closer, things like that. And, you know, you look at a guy like Kenley Jansen, I've gotten to know him here the last few years, and great team guy. And, you know, I think what's great about Dave is that he's not locked into any specific strategy. He basically felt like, hey, we all know this. You know, the game might be won or lost in the seventh inning or in the eighth inning. You know, you may need your top reliever for the middle of the lineup, and you know you can't just wait for the ninth inning to use your best reliever. And Kenley Jansen last year was going a lot more than an inning; was coming in early, did a great job, and you saw the Indians do it with Andrew Miller. Guys that are really selfless, and now you have starters that come in as well. So I think really the mindset, and I'm pretty sure most teams feel this way, you just want to get outs, and you're looking for who's going to match up the best against certain guys, right, left, whether you're throwing sliders, curveballs, the guys you're going up against. Maybe certain guys don't do well against sliders, don't do well against velocity, don't do well against curveballs. So I think when it comes playoff time, because you have off days and you're able to line things up a little bit more, you're just trying to get outs and kind of match up any way you can.
How pleased have you been, and the front office in general, been with the performance of Yu Darvish since you picked him up at the trade deadline, specifically through September and into the playoffs?
Yeah, no doubt. He got off to a good start, scuffled a little bit in the middle, and then those last few outings, they obviously into the playoffs, he's been outstanding. You know, gotten to know him a little bit as well, too. The stuff is outstanding. It's tremendous. Cerebral guy overall, really prepares, really pours through the advance reports and any information that's made available to him. But, you know, what he did against the Diamondbacks, that, obviously we got to see them a ton this past year. That's a really tough 1-8. That's just the lineup is really tough. And what he did against them on the road, you know, that ballpark's a tough place to pitch as well. He shut them down. And, you know, there's a lot of expectations, pressure, things like that. For him to step up in a game like that, you can't say enough. So we've been thrilled, and we feel great when he's on the mound.
Wanted to ask you about one more guy on your roster currently, and Blue Jays fans will remember him really well, and it seemed like things were star-crossed for Brandon Morrow when he was here in Toronto. We know that he's a type 1 diabetic, and to the degree to which that affected his ability to recover from injuries, I suppose we'll never know for sure, but when he was in there and he was firing, he was on, but he would also miss significant chunks of time with injury. He came up, I mean, what did you, you kind of had him on a tryout in camp. He didn't make the team out of camp. You bring him up, and now he's lights out, and you trust him with big outs in the seventh and eighth inning. He's throwing 99-100. I mean, this is a hell of a story, isn't it?
It is, but you know what? In fairness, obviously, Brandon was a top pick. He closed in Seattle early in his career. You know, even what we all saw in Toronto for a period, that 1 year, I think he pitched about 180 innings and struck out 220. We all remember the 17 strikeout, one hit game. He's had electric stuff, but like you said, being able to maintain his health as a starter, logging innings every 5 days, that was a challenge for him. And I do remember at the end of 2014, we basically ran out of time to bring him back as a starter, and he came back out of the bullpen for us. And he still had very good stuff and very good velocity that year. And he had a $10 million option. We declined it. But we talked to him at the time about wanting him back as a reliever, but you know, as he told me on the phone back then, his heart was still starting, and he wanted to exhaust it. So, you know, spent that time in San Diego trying to be a starter. When the offseason came around, Farhan Zaidi brought up his name, and we talked about it. Obviously, I had a lot of familiarity with Brandon. We both got on the phone with him. And, you know, basically want to know that he would want to commit to being a reliever full-time and that he's prepared to leave starting behind, and he was. And, you know, I think now in short spurts, totally healthy, we're seeing the ability that you know, we saw in spurts at times, and he's been huge for us.
With the vice president of baseball operations for the L.A. Dodgers, Game 3, Dodgers and Cubs. Dodgers up 2-0, goes at Wrigley a little bit later on tonight. Alex Anthopoulos.
Alex, I know you can't technically comment on Jose Bautista until he becomes an unrestricted free agent, but that'll happen sooner than later. But maybe you can just overall talk about your experience with him, and even if you believe that he'll play in the league and continue to play in the league and get another contract.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly can talk about, you know, again, I can't, like you said, there's certain things, but yeah, my experiences with him obviously were great. I owe a lot to him for my career, you know, individually, but for the organization, the franchise, everything he did. I think the most rewarding thing was knowing how great a player he is and the great years that he had while I was there, finally seeing him get the opportunity to, you know, to play in the playoffs, come up big. I still get the chills when you say the words game five. I think everyone knows what you talk about. And like, as I say it now, I still get the chills when you think back to it. And that's what sports are about. That's what, that's why I think a lot of us follow and fans. And when you can make memories like that and have an experience like that, and he provided that for the team, can't say enough good things. And I was able to obviously, watch a little bit of that last game, to see, you know, that last home game. And I thought that was first class from the organization to the coaches, Gibby, his teammates. I can't say enough about how that was done and how that was handled overall. So I'm always going to have great things to say about him, and hopefully one day we'll all get to watch him go up there on the level of excellence.
No question about it, he'll be there, and we will never, anybody who was in the building watching on TV will never forget the bat flip game. Alex, best to you and your Dodgers, and we'll catch up again. Maybe as you're getting fitted for some jewelry, but I won't jinx it. So just enjoy the run as best you can.
All right, guys. Thanks. Talk soon.
You bet. Alex Anthopoulos is the vice president of baseball operations for the L.A. Dodgers.
Pretty exciting time for him.
Well, this is what you work for, right?
Yeah,
it's what you live for.
He's smart hockey, smart baseball man. Like, seems to be very well liked.
No question about it.
All the circles that you talk to and that. I mean, you were very close to it. I mean, I'm sure you had a working relationship with him. How was your experience with him?
Very good, very accessible. He's not a lot unlike everybody else in the business when they need to be, Jamie. He can say a whole heck of a lot.
But not say much.
And say almost nothing. But I'll give him this. If you had a piece of information that you needed clarified, if you were on to something, he wouldn't misdirect you.
Interesting.
If you were on to something, he would say, He wouldn't necessarily confirm it if it was something that would
Yeah, if you
cause him
Donaldson's
or the team
or something, or you're looking at something and you're saying, "Hey, I see this hitch
right.
or whatever," he'd at least give you the respect.
I hear you're after so and so over in Japan. Yeah, we've talked to his people. Those sorts of, you know. So yeah. He was never somebody who would deflect and say, you know, yeah. set you off on the wrong path. And I think in this business, that's really all you're after, right?
That's true.
All you're after. Hit us up on the poll at Overdrive 1050. Tomorrow's the O Show. Today's the Noodles Show. Tomorrow's the O Show.
I'm scared for tomorrow.
We got more than 2,000 votes on this. Who should be our special guest on the O Show tomorrow when O-Dog takes over Overdrive? And the four options, you can write others in. Brandy Love, Darcy Tucker, Jenny Lee, Brian McCabe. We got two subject matters close to O's heart here.
Yeah.
Brandy Love is way out in front with 47% support.
I didn't realize, like, in looking at her Wikipedia page, like, she's from Minnesota, so they're... You know, maybe she is a hockey fan or a baseball fan or football. You never know.
Never know. Could be a neighbor of the Gardner family. Who knows where she's from in Minnesota. Darren Dreger, TSN Hockey Insider, is going to jump into studio and join us next. It's the Noodle Show featuring Overdrive with a Hayes replacement. Everything's deteriorating here. Stay with us. It's TSN 1050, the TSN Go app, and you're watching on TSN2. It's the Leafs game night. They're in Washington. Playoff rematch. And then right back home to take on the Red Wings tomorrow night. And that's a game you can hear right here on TSN 1050. Tonight's Leafs-Caps game you can watch on TSN 4. This is the Noodles Show featuring Overdrive with a replacement for Hayes.
We've got a lot of moving parts.
Yeah. And TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger. What's up?
I'm here early today because I had to do a quiz replacing Jeff O'Neill, who couldn't leave his radio post early
right.
to go do the quiz.
Well, couldn't leave his radio post early.
He's gone now.
Yeah.
Now, is the quiz not sometime, like, can't you tape it live? Like,
the
not
device.
Tape it live. Can't you do it live?
Probably could have done it at 3:45 before the radio shift.
You could do it.
That would mean Bob McKenzie would have to come in for 3:30, and you got zero chance of that happening.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's not happening. But the quiz, yeah, the quiz master gets. I like the live version. We'll do the Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah,
Do it live.
Quiz master's off his rocker today too.
Well,
I'm warning.
Okay. Well, believe me, I got some of the emails with the goals, that one.
2 points.
Austin Matthews versus Lemieux. Yeah.
Get the best release in the game.
It is.
The Quizmaster had an opus, too, on TSN.ca about the 2 points for a goal.
Oh, yeah. We got the email. I read it.
But shouldn't that be enough? I mean, he's got his platform on .ca. Well, assuming the Quizmaster is a he.
Yeah.
Right?
Could be, yeah,
and,
right.
and to force it into a device like the quiz for the most part is supposed to be good natured, have some fun, a couple of chuckles, maybe the odd time it gets into a debating fashion, but
it's full on now.
A little arrogant, frankly.
Well, it'll be fine because I've enjoyed doing the quiz, but there are times where it's edgy. he heads down a road where you're like, well, I don't know if
you get in trouble because of the quiz.
Sometimes you do because
you need blunt answers.
You need blunt answers. It's a yes or no, and a lot of times, sometimes if you're on the fence, you choose one side or the other. They ask you to choose that side because you're like, okay, you're going against somebody. So, I remember being on Gino's show in the summers. That's Hockey Summer, and they've got those comparisons, those players. So there was one versus Taylor versus Tyler.
Well, yeah, you'd have fun with that.
So in the morning, you put in, like, who do you want, Taylor or Tyler? Well, whoever I was on with that night, whether it was Mike Johnson or Dave Reed or whoever, chose Taylor. Or no, sorry, chose Tyler. So I took Taylor. I was at a wedding 2 days later. Sitting at my table was Tyler Seguin. And Milan Lucic is like, hey, Noodles, you were on That's Hockey the other day saying,
yeah, of course
Paul's better. And I'm like, are you kidding me? And like, I don't know Sagan. I don't know him very well at all. I know he's a great player and all that. But again, for the sake of that show, it was like I chose Taylor. And Taylor wasn't at the wedding, but Lucic and Tyler were. And Lucic was stirring the pot saying, you know what? Noodle said the other night, Taylor's a way better player, projects to be a better. And I'm like, you're just killing me here.
Well, and the other thing, you know how it is on Twitter. If you are presented with a Toronto option versus a non-Toronto but Canadian option.
Yeah,
right.
If you take Toronto option, your app mentions must just...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for
light
sure.
Light up.
All the time. Doesn't matter. Anything we talk about that comes from Toronto, regardless if it's... I tweeted today about the Canadian College Golf Championship going on at Royal Ashburn Golf Club, which is northeast of Toronto, okay. 40 minutes or so, right? I mean, these are, you know, college golfers from Vancouver Island to Prince Edward Island.
Right.
You know, there's like 82 players.
Yeah.
I play at this club all the time, so I'm trying to get them a little publicity. It's open to the public. Automatically, somebody comes at me, oh, well, it must be in Toronto, otherwise Dreger wouldn't be tweeting about it. So I went right back at him, and I'm like, no, in fact, it's, you know, it's Ashburn, Ontario, small town Canada, and that's a failed chirp, so buzz off.
Yeah, take a lap. No. The guy probably... took it down.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. That's the other thing. These guys, they you know,
they chirp and then they take
the Twitter tough guys, and then they say something absurd and take it down a second later.
Well, and that's the most disappointing thing because you see a response like the one you had, and then you've got to put your thumb on the link, and this tweet's been deleted. Yeah. There's nothing more disappointing than a solid chirp.
Yeah.
On a since deleted tweet, because you want to know what the guy said, and then it's gone.
Yeah, that's
you know.
Fair. That's
but speaking of Dregs, Toronto hysteria, and I don't lay this at our feet. Barry Trotskied Austin Matthews says, "Well, this guy's Mario Lemieux like," and as you know, you throw a little. You throw a little accelerant on the
on the fire,
you know, on the campfire there, and boom! Apparently, we're all out of control about it. But I don't think it's an unrealistic thing to sit here and opine that Austin Matthews very well could become the greatest Leaf that we ever see, based on the potential that is so plainly obvious. I don't feel like that's a hot take.
No, it isn't. And let's go back to the Oilers' opening game versus the Calgary Flames, where for 2 days, all we could talk about was Connor McDavid and how he ripped through that Flames blue line. I'm going to paraphrase Todd White, who I got a lot of time for, former NHL player, a broadcaster in Ottawa.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he said on radio that in his mind, Connor McDavid might be the best player to play the game.
I think there was
something along those lines. I mean, the audio probably exists somewhere.
You're saying ever, or is he?
Yeah, that was how
they
it
were.
Was
there was a comparison as to like, you know, is he going to reach that type of status?
Yeah, and okay, look at that's his opinion, right? Good on him for sharing it, for having the you know what's to say it on Ottawa radio, TSN radio in Ottawa, because. That night, the next day, the day after that, man, you could build that case. You could understand it based on how well he played in that game. Right. So we're an immediate responding group. That's what we do in sport in general,
right.
With social media, et cetera. So you know what? Right now, Austin Matthews is as hot as there is, period, right? Well, you know what? Maybe 2 weeks from now. He's in a bit of a mini slump. He's gone 2, 3, 4 games without scoring a goal.
Right.
You know, the coach is already trying to tamper things down by his acknowledgement, was it yesterday or the day before, that he had to have a one-on-one meeting with him to clean some stuff up. Like,
right.
What that is, that's Babcockery right there. Right. That is 100% what that is. Because I know he didn't like me talking about Matthews potentially earning more money than McDavid. And it's a common math equation.
I saw that one.
The cap is going up. If he's a marquee franchise guy, I believe he will be when they come time to extend, he's going to get 16.5% of the cap.
Right.
That's going to be around $13 million or more. That's more than Connor McDavid. So I think that the Leafs want to, yeah, they want to just quiet all this stuff down too a little bit. But it's impossible when you look at how well the kid is playing.
Well, and sorry to interrupt, but we were talking about Kucherov, like how well he's playing in Tampa. Kopitar's had a great start in L.A. Like,
yeah.
But Leafs fans have something to celebrate. And I don't see a problem with that. But I do a lot of Ottawa games. You're right there as well. People are proud of Erik Karlsson.
He's back tonight.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
The guy is arguably the third best player on this planet. You know, he's in that conversation. If you believe that McDavid and Crosby are there, you know, Matthews is probably, let's say, top 10 world talent. So you're allowed to be proud of the players that you cheer for.
But there are markets around Canada, especially, that maybe don't get the same treatment. And I look at Winnipeg.
Yeah, right? Nikolaj Ehlers.
Unreal. Last year was Patrick Laine. Now, the reason Laine got the interest because of the head-to-head with Matthews, and we in the media wanted to build that up, as we did game one.
Yeah.
You know, Toronto going into Winnipeg. But, I mean, Nick Ehlers is having a terrific start for the Winnipeg Jets, and he's not drawing the headlines that Matthews is, Nylander is. Karlsson, of course, coming back is huge.
Right.
McDavid and Edmonton go down the list. But in Winnipeg, they're talking about Nick Ehlers and how well he's playing.
And they should, because they stubbed their toe coming out of the gate, and Ehlers has been on fire, and you could argue he's been kind of the catalyst to help turn things around. Now, I love Mark Scheifele. I think I still believe Mark Scheifele is an underrated star.
I agree.
That doesn't get the love that the rest of the country gives to other players. Will that temper, or I think Scheifele will just push through that ceiling. Wheeler is a really consistent goal scorer, too. That line is outstanding.
Yeah.
But Winnipeg has to, for me, make the playoffs before they get on the map with a lot of other fan base through to everyone else. I think Scheifele is a superstar in my mind, and he's proven it. And he's going to continue to prove it.
I'll tell you, who's in Toronto? I don't think Nylander gets enough credit. I don't. I'm the first guy to admit that I had my reservations all the way through last season. I didn't think that he could be as impactful last year as he turned out to be. And I was still doubting him late in the season, even though he had a terrific rookie campaign. And even in this offseason, I wondered whether or not he'd be able to sustain where he was and elevate it. And he's done that. He's done that. And look, a big part of it has to do with the chemistry, obviously, with Matthews. But the overtime goal on Saturday night, as beautiful as it was in Austin Matthews controlling that sauce pass and batting it in the way he did, pretty much that entire play is Willie Nylander, including the back check hard. You know, he's got enough in the tank to lead the rush back the other way and then execute that pass to perfection. You know, and that's the latest example of others. This kid is more than the real deal.
Did you use that example with the Quizmaster on the goals and assists being a point each?
You know what? I screwed that up. He was rattled. The Quizmaster was rattled after it because I used Gretzky in 894 goals, and I said I don't want anyone to ever touch that, but the point wasn't, you know, the number of goals. It was the 2 points. It was messy.
So, Drags, I mean, this is where kind of politics meet sports, and a lot's going on in Calgary.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I'm going to be the first to admit, I'm not all over what's going on in municipal politics in major Albertan cities. But I think we all agree that Naheed Nenshi, the incumbent, was facing pretty stiff competition in this Bill Smith fellow. It was very clear that the Calgary Flames were supportive of Smith vis-a-vis their arena situation. Nenshi yesterday wins re-election. So where does this leave everything right now?
Well, they're going to have to find a way to compromise. And by they, I mean ownership of the Calgary Flames, you know, and either Nenshi or whatever existing government is there when the Calgary Flames finally get to that breaking point. And I don't think that they're there yet. They have no choice but to embrace the Saddledome. you know, the old beauty that she once was. They've got no choice. That's their home, and that's where they're going to play. And, you know, I was reminded by, you know, someone within the organization today, they're no longer pursuing a new arena. But the reality of this situation is obvious. And Noodles knows this. You know, Calgary not that long ago was a top 10 revenue-generating team in the National Hockey League. You guys might be surprised to hear this. They're now a revenue-sharing team. Calgary gets revenue sharing. Now, you know, can they, you know, muscle this out financially for the next 3 to 5 years? You know, probably. Nobody's going to starve associated with the Calgary Flames. But when you're comparing apples to apples, which is one NHL team's home to another NHL team's home, and the revenue streams that are generated within those walls, it breaks down in a hurry. And that's where I think the National Hockey League and the Calgary Flames ownership, you know, have a real tough time with the existing government.
Well, this is, I would say, a huge oversimplification, but it might get to the point. If Garth Brooks is going to Edmonton and doing a week and a half worth
nine
of shows.
Yeah. 9 shows.
Yeah. That's a, Calgary's looking at that.
Big, big dough.
And going, hey, what about us?
Yeah, and he rolled in there and did, I think, 3 or 4 shows in Calgary, but it's not the same. The building stinks. Like, I, as much as I love the city of Calgary and I've played in that building and I have a soft spot for it, like, you look around the league, it's just, it's outdated. They've done their best. There was a massive flood there how many years ago?
And they
dug out of that. Alberta has been struggling. Now, I don't want to get political, but there was a tweet the other day when the senators went through Alberta. A couple people retweeted. I thought it was funny, saying Ottawa, that's the first time Ottawa has not helped or beat Alberta or something like that. It was funny, but the economy there is struggling. And there are some people that would usually be deeper pockets and probably buying things, and the building would be full. They're struggling. The oil business is in a recession, and they're trying to dig out. So I think it's tied to that. The government, there was a change over the NDP. Like, there's a lot of moving parts there. But outside of that, if you're a Calgarian and you're looking at the Oilers, you're looking up the road.
There's arena envy for sure.
3 hours north, and you've got a Star, and you've got a brand new arena. There's some envy.
See, I don't believe for a second the Flames are going anywhere. I don't see it in 5 years, 10 years, 100 years. But we have to be aware of the what-if scenario. What if they do leave?
Yeah.
Can't ignore it.
Yeah.
Can't ignore it. And that's where the National Hockey League, the club, and we'll see whether or not the mayor.
Yeah.
All right, Drake.
In that same place.
We'll be watching tonight, TSN4.
You bet.
Leafs, Capitals. First back-to-back of 14 for the Leafs this year. TSN Hockey Insider Darren Dreger will come back on the other side, put a wrap on this. The Chicago Bulls making some news today. They're the Raps' first opponent Thursday night for all the wrong reasons. We'll touch on that. This is The Noodles Show featuring Overdrive with Hayes Replacement. TSN 1050, the TSN Go app, and you're watching on TSN 2.
I think this music's for tomorrow. Mulls is setting the table for tomorrow, or what?
I want to hear theme from NWO tomorrow at some point, Mulsy. Yeah, we're gearing up for it. Tomorrow's, I don't know, Noodles.
Already. We may have to have a conference call tomorrow just to bring in HR to make sure that, see what's offside and what's onside.
Corporate legal might have to. We might have to go to the very top for this. Corporate legal. We might have to have lawyers sign off. Hit us up on the poll. Who should be our guest on the O Show tomorrow?
But what if they vote Randy Love?
Well, they are.
Yeah, but okay, say they vote her and Hunt can't get it. Like, what if she's like, no, forget it. Take a lap, you pigeons.
Well,
what do we do? Then we go to Ugly Face? We go to McCabe?
Could be Ugly Face. Could be Darcy Tucker.
Friend of the
But show. I got to leave it to O to say, hey, you know, like, no disrespect, but you weren't first choice.
That's true. You'd have to lay it out there for him.
Just got to be upfront about that right out of the gate. A couple things to get to here in just a moment, but I want to throw my best bets at you, brought to you by ProLine. I'm going to be that guy. I'm on the Caps tonight to beat the Leafs. I'm on the Senators as the home plus over Vancouver. Carlson's back. I know it's the first game back off a road trip, but Vancouver. And I'm on my Cubbies to at least for a night make it a series against the Dodgers. Take them at home in game three. $20 pays you $97.20. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And you can get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. Fights at practices, Noodles. So Dave Naylor is reporting today, can confirm that Daron Carter, Chris Carter's son, and a wide receiver for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, was involved in some sort of altercation with Sam Williams, a defensive tackle, yesterday, apparently at the urging of at least one coach on the Roughies staff. And now we're learning via the Vertical that the Bulls, who the Raps open up against on Thursday night at the ACC, Bobby Portis and Nikola Mirotic were involved in a serious altercation. Mirotic is in hospital.
Wow.
So who knows what that is? Concussion, broken face, who the hell knows? He's out indefinitely.
This is something else. As far as, I mean, I've been involved in fights and practice and that, but not where it's sent guys to the, well, I guess you, technically, because I was involved in one in practice that had stitches involved. So you, instead of going to the hospital, you have the doctor come in and do you right there. But I think temper's flaring usually before the season. It's you're anxious and you've been practicing too much and you just want to get after it. But you hear stories nowadays where it's, you know, they're guys after the same girl and they're pissed off and. It, you get pushing in practice, and all of a sudden it boils over. But you never want to see a massive injury like that. That's terrible. And then in Saskatchewan, coach involved? Like, I want to know, I don't know if we'll ever get it, but the backstory. Like, if a coach didn't like the player and is like, to one guy, like, let them go. I want to see this guy tune him up.
Right, we got to be fair and reasonable without knowing the details. Exactly. Daron Carter has...
He's got a reputation.
A bit of a rep, right? The thing with Montreal last year where he... bailed or barreled into the Calgary coach on the sideline in that Alouette Stampeders game.
That was greasy.
You know, other stuff has gone down. So it's impossible for us to draw any conclusions off of that, what might have happened here.
Right.
But you got an offensive player, you got a defensive player. There's friction on that team.
You know, what do you need to do is play games, but unfortunately, especially in Saskatchewan, like you play once a week, so it's... There's a lot of time for practice. There's a lot of time for jawing and stuff that we haven't seen the end of that one.
Yeah, Leafs and Caps on TSN 4 tonight. A puck will drop just after 7 o'clock. Quick final thought. Are you taking the over automatically
Absolutely.
On this one?
5-4 game.
You think it's a river hockey act?
I think it's just going to be high scoring just because both teams are high octane. And I don't see a 1-0 unless the goalies stand on their head. Both of them are capable of it, but we're going to see some goals tonight.
All right. Breaking news, LeBron James will play.
Of course he will.
For Cleveland tonight as they kick their season off at home against Kyrie Irving and the Boston Celtics. So we got Leafs Caps, we got Braun playing, and that game is on TSN1. Were you happy with the Noodle show today?
I think we were all right. Music was good. I think Hunt and Malls were good. O-Dog was on fire.
All right, let's get seat belts for these chairs tomorrow. Tomorrow, it's the O-Show.
Yeah, we'll be concerned about that.
This has been the Noodle Show featuring Overdrive and a replacement for Hayes, TSN 1050.